With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, guys.
Is Kadarryl Hodge going to make the team?
I think so. It's tight, but the fact that he did not play much beyond the first quarter is a very good sign for him, and he only was targeted three times.
Is Rashard Higgins going to make the team?
I think so. The odd man out for me, I think, is JoJo Natson, and the reason why I picked Natson as the odd man out, going back to something that Mike Prefer said last week in talking about rookie Anthony Schwartz, who, like Natson, is a speedster. He brought up the fact that he felt that Schwartz has a lot of potential in the return game. Just the injury in camp kept them from testing that. And so I think that little nugget and factor combined with Kadarryl Hodge making that nice touchdown catch kind of pushed me over the edge, because going into the game, I had Natson making the team, Hodge as the odd man out, but I ended up flipping it after the game.
Daryl, has this organization over the last 2 years, or Stefanski, talked about the importance of making plays in preseason games compared to what they have put on tape every single day during camp, and not just when the media and fans are there, but, you know, the other times when they're not? I always wonder about that when it comes to teams, how much it matters flashing in these games.
Well, actually, the message has been it's about the totality of the body of work. In fact, Andrew Berry said prior to kickoff on the radio network yesterday that he did not anticipate, with the very few jobs that were still available to begin with going in to last night's game, he did not anticipate that that game would change their minds on guys, as he put it. He didn't expect it to swing things wildly as far as the decision-making process, because they've had 5-6 weeks to evaluate these guys. So it doesn't sound like, Anthony, that they placed a premium on one or more preseason games. They like to look at the totality of the body of work.
The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, joining us here on the show. How many offensive linemen do the Browns intend to keep?
I picked 8, and the reason I picked 8 is because they're keeping a fullback. But it wouldn't shock me to see them keep an additional one, which means they have to make a sacrifice somewhere else on the roster. But I got James Hudson, Nick Harris, and Chris Hubbard is my three backups.
Okay. Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show. Did Chase McLaughlin win the job last night?
No, I don't think he did. I think he makes the initial, just because they have to fill the position and have a kicker on that initial 53, but look for Andrew Berry to explore his options after that. I'm not saying that he won't be the week one kicker. I just think that Andrew Berry will do his due diligence and check out the kicker market once the waiver claims clear the wire.
No, I need a harder answer than that. Yes or no, Chase McLaughlin is your kicker for the Cleveland Browns against the Kansas City Chiefs? Yes or no?
He's not mine.
Yeah, Daryl, I just want to stop you there, because obviously, yes, they're going to do their due diligence. So will the other teams that need kickers too. What kind of a situation are they in compared to, you know, say last year? at this time. You remember Seibert came into the season. He was going to be kicking, and we know the rest is history there. Is this something fans should start to be a little nervous about?
I've been nervous about the kicking situation since training camp opened. So it hasn't changed for me because where this team is right now, the kicker really, really matters. And my worst fear, I said it, I'll repeat it. My worst fear is this team does not realize its potential because they don't have a good enough kicker. So I am concerned about it. I'll be watching that intently to see who comes available in the next day or so here with these cut downs around the league. And, hopefully options present themselves to Andrew Berry.
All right, Dale Ryer joining us on the hotline. Malik McDowell was somebody who obviously popped. Now, it's the Falcons. It's tough because you don't know how much you're supposed to take away from games like this. But we've seen way more out of Malik McDowell than we even have seen out of Tack McKinley. So what is the expectation here? How impressive have you been?
I've been impressed. I put him on my 53. I did. Maybe I'm, got caught up in a little bit of prisoner of the moment. But I just think his size, what he showed on tape, I don't think it's going to be easy getting him through waivers to the practice squads. And I agree with you. I saw more from him than I did some of the other guys. So I went ahead and decided to reward him and put him on my 53. I like what I've seen from him.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the show. How nervous were you going into the game about Baker Mayfield playing?
None. Look, I mean, Tom Brady played, Patrick Mahomes played, other quarterbacks played. Starting offensive line minus, of course, J.C. Treader, who was a little dinged up recently, was playing. No, I had no problems with Baker Mayfield getting some work in, and clearly he didn't because he was outstanding last night.
All right, Daryl, this offense, what we saw yesterday, obviously a lot of bootlegs. They brought up the statistical breakdown of how many more bootlegs they ran last year compared to the year before. Are we going to see even more this season? Because we know that a lot of the league, in fact, even the team they were going up against yesterday, they were putting out the bootlegs. And it just seems like so many teams are going to do this. Is that going to be even more a part of the offense, or do you think it'll be a lot more versatile than just that?
I think it'll be versatile, but I do also feel it's going to be a big part of what they do because they want to get Baker Mayfield out into space, one, to force the defense to respect his mobility, but also to get him out of the traffic in front of him to be able to see things develop a little better down the field. Not to say he can't do that behind the line of scrimmage, but let's be honest about it. If nobody's in front of you, you can see a lot better. And so I think that, it's something that he does extremely well. It's something he seems to be very comfortable doing. I think that's one of those things that he and Kevin Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt, when they put their heads together during the bye week last year, it's something that they've talked a lot about why this offense was better. Everyone wants to say, well, it was because Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt and Baker wasn't forcing him the football. I believe Baker, and I believe Kevin Stefanski, and I believe Alex Van Pelt, and take them at their word when they say, no, the reason why the offense improved is because we all sat down, albeit in a virtual setting, went through the playbook and talked about the things that Baker Mayfield's most comfortable with in the offense. And then we went ahead and expanded that and used that. And I think that the bootleg and getting Baker outside the tackles and some better vision down the field, I think that was a big part of his success.
Well, I'm interested continues. Because his rookie year, they didn't do a lot of bootlegs, and yet he had a lot of success. And I thought that one of the themes this offseason was working on the footwork. He's now more confident. He has this chemistry with the wide receivers. Normally, the bootleg offense is more geared towards the limited quarterbacks that need to have their hand held a little bit. They need to have half the field shrunk so that they could only see, what's in front of them. Baker, I thought that they – I'd be surprised if they went even heavier bootleg because I thought that they viewed him as more of a guy that could handle – you know, everything that a quarterback needs to have. Not that Jimmy Garoppolo needs to be a bootleg offense.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a need type situation. It's just it's something that works. And if it works, you know, let's use it. Let's try and take advantage of that. You said it yourself, Anthony. There are a lot of quarterbacks doing this in the National Football League. You know, Drew Brees made a career on, you know, using his feet to move a defense around. You see Russell Wilson do it. Lamar Jackson does it in Baltimore. Granted, he, you know, tucks and runs with the football a lot more than Baker and some of the other quarterbacks do, but it's a part of the game now. And it, again, it's something that Baker Mayfield is comfortable doing, and it's something that he's good at. So, and I would argue, you brought up footwork. I would argue it's a lot tougher to throw. You have to have more skill to throw on the move because you've got to set your feet and rotate your hips and square your shoulders to your target and things like that, as opposed to just dropping back, you know, 3-5-7, whatever your drop is, and letting it rip. So I think it takes more skill to be able to throw on the run like that. And we saw it yet last night on the touchdown to Kadarius Hodge, how Baker moving to his left was able to flip his hips, turn his shoulders, and, you know, put a football on the dime for Hodge to reel in.
Dale Ryder with us on the hotline. So we've seen everything we've seen in the preseason, the three games, obviously training camp, and now it's kind of going to get shut down. You're going to go through your cuts. How ready is this team for week one and the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, the first team looked ready last night. Granted, the sample size, really, really small, but I really like and respect how Kevin Stefanski managed this training camp and managed the workload for some guys, because there were moments where in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, all right, are these guys going to be ready for September 12th? They look like they're going to be ready to me. I'm not concerned about that.
Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show. Daryl, was there anything that stuck out to you that we haven't talked about enough during this preseason?
Well, let's see. We've hit on the kicking situation quite a bit. I think this team's in the best shape it really has ever been. It's incredible. I tweeted it last night. They've got too many players and not enough roster spots. They are going to cut some guys in the next 36 hours or so here, where it's going to be disappointing that they cut them, because they don't have enough roster spots for these guys. And that's obviously a credit to the job that Andrew Berry and the personnel department has done. It certainly is a reflection of the depth on this team. I'm really, really interested to see who stays and who goes, Ken. Because again, I think there's going to be, you know, two, maybe three cuts where you look and say, man, really wish they could have kept that guy. I think that, you know, it's going to be hard to squeeze a couple of guys through to the practice squad, because the Browns are on everyone's radar now, and you're going to see teams poaching players that you know, the Browns cut, especially those teams that desperately need help at the top of that waiver claim order.
What's your problem with the preseason? Why you hate the preseason so much? I think it's football, and people like to watch football. I think they're bored by joint practices. I think they're bored by training camp. You're not here for anybody's entertainment, but it's still an entertainment business. Why do you hate football so much?
You know what? I will definitely give Kyle Loletta some credit last night. He certainly made things a little entertaining, and I don't like the fact that the fans pay full price for games that don't matter. That goes back years and years and years. The injury risk is something that I don't like about it as well. I think that teams can get better work in joint practices because you can control things, you can set things up, whereas in the preseason, you're at the mercy of whatever situation kind of presents itself. And I know the flip argument to that is, well, that's how it goes in the regular season. You can't control the situations. But in the joint practices, look, I think they can make a ton of money on joint practices, just like they're making bank on the preseason. And as we know, the NFL is a business first and foremost. I really think that you can make some money doing joint practices over preseason games. Go to 18 regular season, no preseason, set up two joint practices where you work against a team for 2 to 3 days, and away you go. But I don't think that that's ever going to happen just because of, like I said, the gate receipts matter in the National Football League.
All right, Daryl, we'll see you in hell. Thank you for the time.
Not before I see you in L.A. first, Ken.
Ah.
Some people think L.A. is hell.
Oh, Joe Rogan commentary.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Daryl.
Anthony is just a bitter, bitter man.
Ooh. Your retort there, Tone.
I think he's right on the money.
All right, Daryl, goodbye.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later.
Daryl Renner joining us here on the hotline. Fabulous as always. I got a commentary on week zero college football coming up later on in the show. I know you guys are waiting with bated breath. Coming up next, maybe the Dolans did us a favor. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.